Tonight I want to speak a little bit about generations. How apropos. Did you know we had three generations on the worship platform tonight? That was pretty cool. We've got four generations in the house. Father, help us understand heaven's concept of family. So we know what you want earth to look like. So when we get to heaven, we already look like your family. Amen. Were you made in the image and likeness of God?
Yes.
Cameramen hate me because I don't stand still. If you were made in the image and likeness of God, then this is your manufacturer's handbook. This is in the instructions for your life. Everything you need to know. If you think I'm blowing smoke, I've found gardening and farming stuff in here. I've found chemistry stuff in here. I've found all kinds of answers to life's questions in here. Did you know that this little book says that from Adam to Noah, there were nine generations in the lineage of Christ on the earth at one time? I don't even know my paternal grandfather or my maternal grandfather. They both passed away long before I was born. There could have been 10 generations on the earth between Adam and Noah at one time, but because Enoch walked with God, he was translated into heaven at the early age of 356 years old. So if you think you're getting old, dream on, baby. You got a long way to go. Because Enoch was translated, there were only nine generations on the earth at that time. Noah was born after Adam died. All of this is in the Bible. So there were only eight generations on the earth when Noah was born. I find it interesting that eight is the number in Scripture of new beginning. And there were eight people on the ark that Noah built at age 600. So if you think you're ready to retire, dream on, baby. So we don't get hung up on these patriarchs having children at an early age. Here are the ages each generation started to have children in the lineage of the Messiah. That's Jesus. We do not know how old Adam and Eve were when they brought Abel and Cain into the earth. Bible doesn't tell us, but they do tell us when Seth was conceived. Adam was 130 years old when he conceived Seth. Seth was 105 when Enosh was conceived. Enosh was 90 when Kenan was conceived. Kenan was 70 when Mahalalel was conceived. Mahalalel was 65 when Jared was conceived. Jared was 162 when Enoch was conceived. Enoch was 65 when Methuselah was conceived. And Methuselah was 187 when Lamech was conceived. And Lamech was 182 when Noah was conceived. And Noah, as far as I know, has the record. He was 500 when Shem was conceived. Now, guys, they didn't have drugs back then. They just had faith in their Creator that he could do what he said he would do. He would give them generations to worship him. When Abram was born, there were 11 generations on the earth. Abram was born in Ur of the Chaldees. That's why Chaldean is the Aramaic dialect that the scripture was written in addition to Hebrew and Greek. Abram could have known Noah, his great-grandfather, to the eighth time. Can you imagine the stories that were passed down? Which is how the scriptures were written, by the way. How many of you have known your grandfather to the fifth time, let alone the eighth time? If the Lord should tarry and he gives me breath, I'm looking forward to seeing 5 and 6 generations of my lineage on earth at once. By the way, we marvel at Abram being 87 when Ishmael was conceived and 100 when Isaac was born, but we forget Abraham was 135 after Sarah died when Keturah bore him 6 additional sons. You talk about getting out and playing sports with the kids. And he probably told them all about his walk with Adonai. So what's the point? Cain, Abel, and Seth all learned to worship and revere the Lord by watching Adam and Eve. What are your kids learning? We heard the prophetic words over the two families this evening on how important it was for the families to establish the generations. They taught Cain and Abel and Seth how to worship, how to honor God with their voice, with their breath, and with tithes and offerings. You know, a lot of people get hung up on why Cain didn't have as good an offering. He gave a tithe. It was good. But Abel gave the first, not knowing what would happen to the rest of his flock. He gave his very best to God, and God appreciated that, which is why first fruits is so important, which is why Pentecost is so important. Are your kids learning how to live kingdom life, not church life, kingdom life, through how you live? When our daughter was a senior in college in her nursing school, every one of the senior nurses in her class was the largest at the time in the history of the school, had to take nursing ethics with every one of the nursing professors in the room. And they sat around in a circle in one of the classes, and they started on one side and went all the way around, and our daughter was the last one, and they said, "Who's the head of your house?" And some said dad, some said mom, some said this, some said that. And when they got to Jess, we never discussed any of this with our children. See, your children are watching what you do. They said, "Mom and dad discuss," this is Jess to all of the people in the room, "Mom and dad discuss everything, and they make a decision together. And if there has to be a decision made right away, mom yields to dad because the Bible said so." We never talked about that, but when we thought about it, that's what we do. They are watching you just like Cain and Abel and Seth watched Adam and Eve. When we fail to tell our children the ways of the Lord, we set them up for failure. Genesis 2:16-17 in the New American Standard Bible reads, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die.'" God told Adam this before he created Eve. Who did the Lord give the instruction to? But Adam failed to communicate. Moms, don't blame dad. Our great-great-great-great-great-grandfather made us do it. He failed to communicate to Eve and set up all of the generations of mankind on the earth for failure. But God had a plan. The plan's name is Jesus. Exodus 20, verses 5 and 6. "You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the 3rd and 4th generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." When God created mankind, he established a blessing of exponential increase from generation to generation to generation. Cain and Abel and Seth were to walk in an exponential increase of the glory of God, which Adam and Eve walked in. But Adam and Eve blew it. And they set up a curse structure in the earth for exponential increase of curse upon generation upon generation upon generation. And only you and I, through the power of the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ, can break that off of our generations. Our sin through Adam and Eve established a curse of lack and loss across every generation. But those who trusted in the Lord, those who walk in the promises of Abraham that we all get to experience through Jesus, walk in authority over that curse. Throughout the book of Deuteronomy, fathers and mothers are commanded to teach their children who God is. This is what Pentecost is all about. The first Pentecost on the top of Mount Sinai, where the Torah was given, was not a set of laws and rituals. It was the teaching of who Adonai, Yahweh, the great I Am, is. This is who Father is. It's not a book of do's and don'ts. It's a book of, here's my heart, will you pursue me? Father is after those who will pursue his heart. Father always has been after the generations to come together to worship and walk in reverent awe of him. That's what the word fear means when it says to fear the Lord, to walk in reverent awe of him. Psalm 24, verses 1 through 6. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, even God, even Jacob, Selah. If we are not preparing the generations of our lineage to pursue the heart of God in righteousness, peace, and joy, and the power of the Holy Spirit, they will not be able or in position to fulfill their role as gatekeepers for the King of Glory. Or as Frank Hammond would say, and stay out. You have to be a deliverance worker to understand that one. Well, they've learned a new one. Do you know you have been given a role that was assigned to you in the garden? Be fruitful and multiply. Give me more kids. Subdue the earth. Steward my creation. The Great Commission was in Genesis 1:28 before it was spoken anyplace else. It was spoken every time a covenant was cut with man. Jesus was the last one who cut covenant with man. He's the last one who spoke it. It's the same exact covenant. And he made you to be a gatekeeper. It may be over your apartment. It may be over your building. It may be over where you work, where you go to school. You are a gatekeeper. You are a portable portal for the presence of the King of Glory. He wants to come in through your voice speaking over every place. Is that in the Bible? Well, let's see. 7 through 10 of Psalm 24. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, so the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, so this King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. What are you welcoming into your house? Who are you welcoming into the place you're raising your children? When you welcome the King of Glory, guess what? His name is Adonai Sabaoth. That's King of Glory, the Lord of angel armies. When he comes, so do the armies of angels. How many of you want to fight against darkness on your own? You are a gatekeeper. Welcome the Lord of hosts into your heart, into your marriage, into your family, and into every place he sends you to go. That's Acts 1:8. So Ron spoke this scripture. It was a memory verse when our kids were in school. Proverbs 22:6. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. Train up a child in the way they should go, and in keeping with their individual gift or bent. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. This has nothing to do, well, it has little to do with the scripture. This has everything to do with you knowing who Father says your children are, who Eli is, who Gabriel is. And knowing Father's redemptive gift, you can go back and listen to the three-part series on redemptive gifts in February and March. Knowing who he created them to be so they are trained from their early age, and when they are old, they will know who they are as the son and daughter of God with specific gifts from the Father to release into the earth. Adam and Eve failed to do that with Cain and Abel. They did it with Seth. When you read the lineage of Jesus, it's listed twice, once through Mary's side of the lineage and once through Jacob's side of the lineage. Both were of the tribe of Judah. I am in awe at the three sets of 14 generations, 42 generations. I'm not going to get into the numbers. I'm in awe that some of these dudes were only mentioned because they were faithful enough to love their wife and have a son who would be in the lineage of the Messiah. And without them, we would not have the Lord Jesus Christ. Know your children. Moms, you're much better at this than dads. But dads, I exhort you on Mother's Day to learn your children. Know who they are because they're looking to mom and dad to help them become who they were created to be so they can prosper and their generation can be the Josiah generation which welcomes the King of Glory back for his bride. Amen? I want all of the great grandmothers to stand up. These ladies have been doing this the longest. Lord, I bless these women, mighty women of God, to hear your voice so they can continually speak into the generations of their lineage and impart the grace you imparted to them, even to children yet to be born. Now, if you are a great-grandmother, I want you to join these ladies in standing up. Oh, these are the great-grandmothers. See, I'm looking to that fifth generation. Okay, if you're a grandmother, join these ladies. Father, I thank you when two generations stand together, you say there will be an exponential increase. And I say, Lord, let there be an exponential increase of grace from each generation so when they impart it to their daughters, there will be another exponential increase. And when they impart it to their daughters, there will be another exponential increase. And when they impart it to the generation yet to be born, there will be a super exponential increase. If you are a mom, please join these ladies in standing up. Casey, I'm releasing you now to the kitchen. Because all of these ladies are coming first. Oh, no. I just heard the kids' stomachs growl. Father, I thank you for three generations of mothers, mothering mothers who mother mothers, so their daughters will be righteous women and women of excellence. Lord, I bless them to prosper because their soul prospers in you. I bless them, Lord, to release increase through the words of their mouth and the laying on of their hands every time they impart to their sons and their daughters. Lord, let them see your glory and let them release your glory into the next generation in Jesus' name.